Hey, welcome to Live Sent Podcast, a podcast of Gateway Church in Columbia Falls, Montana. Our podcast is simply just thoughts on life, ministry, mission, and theology.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, glad to be back on the podcast. Grateful for Joel and Garrett couple weeks ago just taking over. And yeah, we've just been in this this sickness storm, it seems like, but we're coming out of it. We're coming out of it. So, Joel, how are you doing?
Coming out of it.
That's all you have to say.
Well, I mean, I've been better, but I'm coming out of it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely, for sure. But you know what, Joel? I am super excited. I know Noah is extremely excited. We're going to be going over, I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about over the next few episodes. Really pumped. How do you feel about it? We haven't told them what it is yet, but I want you to tell your feelings about it before we tell them what it is.
I feel pretty fuzzy inside, not going to lie. Kind of like a stuffed animal kind of, you know, like fused himself into my heart and my soul. And yeah. How are you feeling about it?
You know,
I think you should probably just tell us.
So we're going to be doing over the next few episodes. I actually don't know how many episodes because it's a rich, very rich topic of what is community. And obviously the world has a version of community, but what does the Bible say community is for a Christian? And there's just so many themes there. So I'm really excited because, I mean, this is kind of our, you know, this is a Live Sent podcast. We're talking about life, ministry, mission, and theology. But the reality, everything that we talk about comes out of theology. You know what I mean, Joel?
Right. Yeah. It, you know, everything is centered around Scripture and theology is the study of God and the nature of who he is, which comes out of Scripture. So it makes sense that everything revolves around who God is and how he's described in Scripture.
Absolutely. And so really the podcast, so I'm excited about this idea of community because we're coming from it with every topic we discuss from a biblical worldview. You know, there are times to have opinions and times to express how we feel, and that's absolutely true. But really for all of us, for us believers at least, every motive, every intent, every thought, every idea is subjected to the authority of Scripture. And so God's world and his rules, right? You know what I mean? And so, I'm excited about this topic of community. Really am. Noah, how do you feel about it?
Good.
not gonna happen.
My thoughts exactly. So, this idea of community, I think a great illustration as we just open it up, this is to be honest with you, Joel, and you can add into this, is I don't think for a long time in my Christian walk that I understood what community is. And now we have to understand, too, that there's two types of community we could be talking about. One is the community between us and God that we now have in a relationship with him and that we're to be in a community with him or in a relationship and that kind of thing with him. And then there's the community of believers that we're part of a family. And the second one is being a part of a family. I don't feel like I really understood, and I'm still trying to understand as I grow older, really the weight of what Christian community is, especially as we look at Scripture. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, just hearing you talk about that, it sounds like the two types of community are a one-on-one community with God, and then maybe more about what people normally think of when they think of community. Because of the root word commune, right? You think of more than one person.
Absolutely.
In the context of a church or a family. So I think most people tend to think about the second one more so because of the word community.
Sure. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's really the one we're going to be leaning in. But I really have this have either of you ever seen The Truman Show?
Yeah.
Okay, so I really feel like, I'm assuming yes from Noah, I really feel like that as Christians and unbelievers as well, because really this idea of community, what family is a kingdom value, and that the world has a view of what that family is, and God has a view of what that is. And so really we're going to kind of talk through that, but I really feel like this is kind of a general statement for both in the church and outside the church. And correct me if you disagree, but I really feel like the Truman Show is a great example of Truman himself has this idea of what his life is all about. You know, he wakes up in the morning, he comes out his door, he gets his clothes on, his wife fixes him breakfast, he walks out the door, he says hi to his neighbors, and he gets in his car and he goes to work and he comes, and it's just the same thing over and over again. And it's really this 50s utopia kind of picture of the white picket fence, and I know my neighbors by their first names. And really, on the surface, it looks like his life's all together. But underneath in his life, in Truman's life, he's beginning to start adding things up that just don't seem to fit the way he thought they did. He wanted more of life. He talks to his friend and talks about leaving and wanting more, and nobody wants him to leave because obviously he's on a television show. He doesn't know that at the time. But really, I think that in the church and outside the church, there is this misconception that on the surface level, we think we have community, and in reality, we really don't know what true community is. I don't know. What do you think about that, Joel?
I mean, that's kind of a creepy way to think about it.
Thanks, Joel.
Kind of cynical. No, but I mean, it's true that as you're watching that movie, you're starting to think about, oh, actually, he doesn't really know anybody, and even the people that he thinks he knows, they're not real relationships.
Yeah. That's good.
But you know, as you're talking about that, I was thinking that the way for him to figure, obviously he figures it out at the end of the movie, but I was thinking about what you were saying in juxtaposition with our relationships, how might we figure out whether or not our relationships are real? Because you said that sometimes I think we can think that we have real community and real relationships, but do we actually? And so maybe something that we can think about and talk towards is how do you actually figure that out? How can you tell if the relationships you do have are genuine or not?
That's good. No, and that's a great question. And I really think the answer, funny or not, lies in 2020. Mm. And what I mean is, when we look at a year where we have had to endure lockdowns, some still enduring lockdowns, and we pray for them. But there, and for many people, and I've said this to you before, that I don't know how someone makes it through life without being a follower of Jesus. And part of what I'm saying there is because I have brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what I mean? I don't know how people make it through life without true family. And so I feel like 2020 could really shine some light on that question. I mean, this is, many people would say this was the year of isolation for them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so forced isolation, not even Maybe some chosen isolation. I totally understand that. But for the most part, probably forced isolation. And isolation is what? The opposite of community, right? And so yeah. So I think about, like, here's my thought process, and you keep kicking back whatever you think. But I think, okay, at church, right? Man, it's kind of like the Truman Show sometimes, right? You walk in, especially if you're a part of a larger church. I've been a part of several larger churches, and it's hard to really know anybody. You got to really get involved in a smaller group of people, whether it's a Sunday school or a small group or a missional community, whatever they call it, to really get to know people, because you're not going to if you walk into a service that holds 1,000 or a couple hundred people and you're there. And so, you know, you walk in on Sunday morning, you shake hands, you smile. Oh, how was your week? Oh, great. It was great. Good. Oh, well, that's so good. Hey, we're praying for you. And then you don't talk to that person again for a whole nother week until you see them on Sunday. And I think that we have – so what I'm saying is I think when you could no longer meet in person for an extended period of time, those relationships really shown to be shallow, you know? That, oh, I didn't talk to John on Sunday and he asked me how my week was, right? Like, but really began to show, at least in my own life, was I knew that there were people in our body that I could call if I needed something and they were there, and vice versa. And so I think
one of the things that happened with those, if you want to call them surface relationships, what happened with those surface relationships is, at least for me, the people that I would say are at a surface relationship level, I realized that I really didn't need them. You know, as sad as that is to say, those are the relationships that you can go months and months, and we literally did go months and months without seeing those kind of people because we couldn't. And it showed that we don't need those, not because we don't need community, but because we need community. That's just not what community is.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I know. No, I think you couldn't have said it even better, is that not only did you realize you didn't need them, but the reality is you didn't need them because it wasn't true community. And because we're really going to get into that. I mean, we could talk about the New Testament. We're going to talk about at some point the New Testament has 40 one another's, you know, that word one another. We're going to get into that and this reality of community. And it really goes back to culture. Right, it goes back to the culture of a church. Not every church is like this, but the culture of a church in America, and this is my thought, this is my presupposition, and you kind of chime in, is church is an event you attend. And that's my presupposition. You know, that's my presupposition. We say at Gateway, church is not an event you attend, but a family you belong to, and family is all about community. And I think right there, that's the – now, you can talk about that and not practice that. I totally understand. But I would say the issue is culture, right? And obviously, it's individual responsibility. But it's definitely this culture of, hey, come on Sunday, hear music, hear the preaching, see you next week. Put your tithe in the offering plate, right? Whereas biblical community – because when we say biblical community, we're really – in part, Joel, we're defining what the church is, right? I mean, we're saying the church is blank. And so, yeah, I mean, I think through that of thinking, man, maybe that it's a cultural thing where many American Christians see church as an event you attend. So you see John, you see Mark on Sunday, and you say hi. But outside of that, now, and that's why they will say in a larger church or bigger church or whatever, get involved in a smaller group, right? But even as you get involved in a small group, you have at least two touch points in a week. But when I look at Scripture, Joel, what I see is they gathered every day. Now, I do think that was because some of that was their culture, was to be very communal and be very together. But I also think that they recognized that they were and they needed each other, right? I mean, what's one question we ask sometimes in group? We ask, what does this mean to you? Christ builds me up through you. Christ builds you up through me, right? Christ builds me up through you. Christ builds you up through me. And what that question alone is reminding us what? That we need one another. You know what I'm saying? What do you think?
Yeah, I actually am looking up alelone, or alelone, which is the Greek word for the one another. And
yeah.
It is, at least the Strong's word, is found 100 times in the New Testament. A lot of those are in the Gospels, and contextually it's not, you know, talking about one another as we're talking about it, but that's a lot, 100 times.
Yeah.
That's a lot of times that somebody is talking about the church and their responsibility to react and respond and live with and among each other. You know, I mean, that's a great line that you build me up and then I build you up. I mean, that's you could say that's one of the things that the one another's teaches, that we're growing each other, we're growing with each other, we're growing for each other. I can't wait to jump into some of these one another's that Paul talks about.
Yeah,
they're specific. They're very specific things.
Well, and even going back to that statement, Christ builds me up through you, Christ builds you up through me, like as we think about that, like we, even in our personal relationship with God, like we need other believers. You know, everything we do is a personal relationship with God, right? Like we think that like how I treat someone is directly resulted in my relationship with God. You know, your vertical relationship with God translates to your horizontal relationship, right, with other people. And when you say that phrase, when you recognize that Christ builds me up through you, then what that means is that as God and his sovereignty has allotted believers in my life, you know, if you're in prison, you're all by yourself, God's in control, right? But as God and his sovereignty has allowed believers in my life, that I need them to grow in my relationship with God. That's very different. That's very different than American mindset, which says I can do this on my own. You know what I mean? I mean, and many people would say my faith's a private thing. I don't want to talk about it, right? But that negates why you have faith. You have faith in Christ, who now he says, I'm the head of the body. You're part of a body, right? And so this idea of community really is this understanding that we're part of something bigger than ourselves here and now in the church. And now it's just exciting to look at what we're going to get to talk about. And I don't actually know how long we've been going, but as we think about this, there's some ramifications for us. So really kind of let me outline what we're going to do. We've kind of just been talking about this idea of community, talking about, okay, what is the world's idea of community? What is even in the church? But what does, now we're going to look at, and we may be able to go into another episode, but now we're going to look at what does the Bible say community is? Because really, the Bible is our authority. And one thing about the Bible being our authority is that it's sufficient. It's sufficient, meaning it holds everything we need to know. for God to, and how his revelation of himself to us, and how he wants us to respond in obedience to him. And so it speaks a lot about this idea of community. And so, Joel, what would you say, as we're kind of thinking about this, what would you say your experience of Christian community was, for just maybe share testimony of like your life, what's been your experience over your life of Christian community?
So that's a very interesting question, because well,
your life is interesting.
Here's why. Because that's actually a pretty integral part of my testimony.
Sure.
Is me not knowing what Christian community was. So throughout middle school and most of high school, I actually hated church because I didn't understand what church was. I didn't understand biblical Christian community. See, I thought that my world was really all about friends, and I suppose every middle schooler is kind of like, well, not everyone, but most middle schoolers are like that. But I struggled making friends, and because the church didn't satisfy that need for me, I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like going to youth group and all of the church events, because that's not how I wasn't getting my relational needs met. But that was, I think, a detriment to my relationship with the Lord. But that was because I didn't know what good biblical Christian community was. And so my experience, I think, is pretty shallow as a kid, not because the church that I attended was shallow, just because maturity-wise, I was not able to contribute to the body, because I didn't know what the body was for, and I didn't know what, like I said before, I didn't know what
right.
Christian community was. So I would definitely say that after reading scripture, you asked for my testimony. One of the big things that happened in my life is my junior year of high school, I decided, you know what, I'm going to get serious about my faith and my relationship with the Lord. And so I just started reading scripture. And that's literally the big transformative moment, and I say moment in quotes because it wasn't a moment, it was moments that the
Lord, the
Holy Spirit slowly started to change my heart toward him and toward his bride. And so as I read scripture and abided with Christ, I was slowly able to see a better picture of what community was and what the church is for. And so over the next couple of years, I really started to get involved with investing in people. And I definitely think that the church plant that we're a part of now has definitely been awesome for my conceptualization of what church and community is. So that's probably way more than you were bargaining for, but
I think that's great. You know, I really do. I think that's great, and I think really as we just begin this series on community, like I said, it might be 3 or 4 episodes. We'll figure it out. Joel's a talker. No, I'm just kidding. But really, I mean, my experience was really very similar, and sadly, later in life, I've always known. Hey, you know, church is more than an event, right? I've always known that. And I've always believed that, because I'm just, my personality is I want to be in people's lives. But I think in planting Gateway Church, it really began to put flesh on the bone. You know what I mean? It really began to open my eyes, because right before your eyes, you began to say, okay, what are we going to say is a big deal? And I'm not saying we do a great job, But what I began to see is, this is really funny, actually. We had started a group in Bruce's home, then we started another group shortly after Easter of 2017. And probably a year and a half later, and people are going to think I'm crazy. They're like, man, we liked each other before then. But the group on Wednesday got together, and it was in the summer. We were living over on 12th Street right in front of the high school, and we were meeting. And Jim Evanson pulled up with his new truck. You know, it was like a 70 model Ford or whatever. So it wasn't new, but it was new to him. It was sparkling green, beautiful flatbed. And I remember him coming in, and probably embellishing it just a little bit, but I remember him running in and be like, guys, y'all want to see what I got? And everyone ran outside with anticipation and celebrated that he had a truck. Now, you say that's not a big deal. Well, it is, because Jim, it was important to Jim, and he cared so much. He cared about it. He wanted to tell other people about it. And he's not a materialistic person. That's not what I'm getting at. But the point was, it was important to him. It was a dream to have an older truck like that. And everyone celebrated with him. And it clicked for me. This group now loves one another. Mm. And so it was one of those moments where it was just like, it's more than just meeting. You can meet to meet. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there were other moments like that before then, but it just clicked in my head of like, community is caring about what other people care about and loving what other people love. I mean, you think about it, that Christ put his needs down and to put our needs before him. And that's what he calls us to do. And that's really what community is putting the needs of our brothers and sisters before our own.
It's almost just that simple.
So that's the answer. All right, we're done. Yeah, thank you so much. We'll be back here. But no, I mean, it just really was a light bulb moment for my own life. It was like something like a truck. That's so silly. But no, what it was is people began to care about other people more than just, hey, we're with each other on Wednesday night. There really was a beginning of hanging out outside of group and outside of church, really from that point on. There really was, I want to be involved in X, Y, and Z in your life, you know? And it's not perfect, but I just really, for me, that was a light bulb moment of, because I cared about it because I cared about Jim, but to watch everybody else come out and care and celebrate, and I think we even prayed and thanked God for the truck, but it was a cool moment to see, hey, this is a little picture of what community is. Mm-hmm. And it was really neat, really neat. And so, but we had been meeting for over a year. You know what I'm saying? So, and maybe it's because we're in Montana. I don't know, but it was a cool moment. And so really, as we're talking about this idea of community, we're really going to get to unpack it. So I think this is probably, we're going to have to cut on this episode, but I think, Joel, before we leave, maybe let's just kind of recap a little bit and maybe in the format of what are some barriers currently in our lives and our culture that keep us from community?
Ooh.
Man. I can start if you want to think about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever you say is going to be right, because I think that everything, I think Satan throws just about everything, and we throw everything at ourselves in order to stop us from being in community with one another. I think that insecurities are something that keep ourselves from growing deeper into relationship with each other, because relationships are messy. And sometimes they're just uncomfortable. Sometimes the comfortable thing is just not to share and not to get vulnerable. And, you know, obviously I'm not talking about sharing deep, dark stuff. I'm just talking about just actually sharing about how your day was. You know, isn't super deep stuff, just getting vulnerable. But I think scheduling and being busy, I think that's probably the biggest one for me. We just don't have time for each other. And you think about the early church that probably met every day or most days, and that's a foreign language to us today. It's almost like I would almost love to just drop a Christian in the 21st century in the first century and just see how stark it was, because I think that a lot of Christians today would go back in time and would be blown away by how often they were together.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a foreign language, because if I'm giving up X amount of evenings per week, just one with one person is generous. So I mean, I meet with several people once a week, and if I were to up that to two times a week, my schedule would pretty quickly become unmanageable.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
Because we're so busy.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely one of the things.
There's two things that I loved about what you said: vulnerability and busyness. I mean, those are so huge, and I think that those really speak to really. I mean, there are people that when you talk about community, they get anxious.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if I were to say, hey,
which is strange, because that's not that doesn't tend to be my personality, and I know that's definitely not yours.
Hey.
But you're right, because I mean, we've met people who that is a big hang up.
Well, and on the flip side of it, for me though, the danger, because everybody thinks, oh, it's so easy to you, it's just easy, don't struggle with that. Here's the reality: the flip side of it, I can just be as apathetic towards community, even though I'm around a lot of people and talk about people, by just being surfacey. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
well, that's kind of what we were talking about at the beginning with those surface level relationships. It's really easy to be surface level with people, especially a lot of people, but it takes a lot of work, even for a major extrovert to break through that formality, just surface level talking, and to really grow with somebody.
No, you're right. You're right. And you really, I think is going with vulnerability, busyness, couple things that really hit me as barriers. So if you're like listening to this podcast, you're like, Kyle, Joel, I really don't want to be in more community than I am right now. I really think, and this sounds so cliche, so you can hit me, but I just feel like that there's a barrier to true community is authority. And that's, how does the Word of God have authority in your life? And I think that really hits us all on some level. Because there's times we don't feel like doing this or doing that. But when we allow the Word of God to be our authority, that really it's not doing things because we know we have to do them. It's because we want to. I get on to Helen Claire all the time, and one of the things I've been saying is, babe, I don't want you to obey because you have to. I want you to obey because I want you to. You obey out of love, you know? And I really feel that, like, in my own life, a barrier to really this idea of biblical community is, where does the authority of God's word play in our lives? Is it a book that just sits on the shelf, or does it really, to the power of the Holy Spirit, just eliminate every area of our life that we want to be in submission? Because if I did things based on only how I feel, we did things based only how we feel, we would not be in some good places. And so I think a barrier is, what's the authority? Where's the Word of God have authority in your life? Because some people are just like, honestly, they haven't been disciples, right? It's not like, hey, I'm choosing to disobey God. Like, it's the fact that they've never been discipled and they don't read their Bible, right? And so I think it could be authority. I think another barrier, I think, with that is cultural. You know, it's one of those things to swim upstream, and it's one of those things to swim with the flow of the water, right? Which one's easier? Going downstream, the flow of the water, right? And culturally speaking, in the American church, when we really talk about these ideas and these principles of community that we are finding in Scripture, that God's Word speaks about, not finding, it's always been there, we just open our eyes, right? That as we see in Scripture, in many ways, when we begin to apply them in an American context, it becomes going upstream. You see what I'm saying? It just becomes alien, foreign, otherworldly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many conversations have you had with someone, Joel, that's gone overseas, and even in our own lives, where we've gone and we've been in a prayer meeting for hours, and we're like, we're only supposed to be gone an hour. You get what I mean? Like, it's like, why are they still preaching? We've already gone an hour and a half, right? You get what I'm saying? And so there's this kind of, So I think it's the authority of the Word of God, too, like you said, busyness, maybe even vulnerability, but even this idea of just culture, that it's just so otherworldly, that it's just so different. And when you begin to do things that are different, that it quite frankly scares people. And I think as we look at Scripture, it's not like we found some secret knowledge. We're not talking about that. What we are talking about is, we want our lives to be under the authority of God's Word. And we, as a people in America, are biblically illiterate a lot of times. And so we look at that. So, I don't know. I just think that culturally it could be otherworldly. That could be a barrier. That you're talking about, hey, like example, hey, If something's happened to you, hey, you're sick, let me bring you a meal. Why would you bring me a meal? I'll just, you know what I mean? It's just different, especially Montanans, right, who are so independent and just wanting to do their own thing, right, that really these ideas of community can be foreign. So those are some barriers I can see. A verse of Scripture I just want to read as we're kind of closing this episode, and then we'll kind of launch to our next episode is John 17, verse 20, John 17, 20. And it says this, is the high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying for the believers, and not only the believers there, the disciples, but for us as well. And he says this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so there's this idea that John is right, that John is recording what Jesus is saying, of this oneness, this unity, this community, if you will, that the church has. And so with that, I'm excited to really dive in this topic. This has really just been an intro episode, Joel. We haven't really got into it. We've just kind of been, you know, scattering around, you know, but we haven't really got into it. And so I'm excited about that. Joel, do you have any closing thoughts, criticisms, critiques?
Nuggets. I just feel so fuzzy.
Are you sure that's not the hydroxychloroquine?
I'm pretty sure it's the community.
That's really all you have to say.
I'm excited.
And yeah. So really, our next episode, the next week, will really be diving into what was community in the New Testament. What did that look like? And then we're going to eventually get to, okay, what does that mean for us today? And super excited about that. But I hope you've been listening. You can find our podcasts on our website. We are transitioning websites, but also on Podbean. And so that's great. Throw that out for Noah. But, yeah, we're hoping to get on some other platforms and stuff like that. But we're so glad you're listening. Remember that God has called us to abide in Him. And when we abide in Him, we bear much fruit. We hope to see you next week on the podcast.